Baptist Church Sunday School Hour, and we're going to go ahead and dismiss our classes to head downstairs, while the rest of us that remain behind turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 24. Appreciate you helping out there, John. That was good. He's our guest song leader for today. So Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 is a verse that we have basically been kind of pivoting around a bit when it comes to this issue of perseverance. And again, perseverance is something that is a very determined process, a very determined action that a purpose has to be truly founded in Christ in order to do and in order to accomplish. And God wants us to persevere. And we find here in verse 10, he says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And we're going to focus this morning, as we've kind of been, referencing and mentioning, this issue of strength, because that is really where a lot of this is going to come from. Persevering is going to require strength, but not the type of strength that we think that we normally need. People can endure. People can do those the triathlons, and they can do those Ironman competitions and things of that nature. And you watch some of these people do these long endurance races and things of that nature, or even the endurance car races such as Le Mans or something of that nature, where there's, you know, this endurance that needs to continue, and it requires some physical strength and physical abilities. But I will tell you this, if we are relying solely upon our physical abilities to persevere through things that happen in our life, we are going to fail. And we're going to look at that this morning. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time and opportunity that we have this morning to come to learn from you. And I just pray that as we look at this issue of perseverance, as we look at these scriptures, that, Lord, it will be very clear to us where our strength is, that it is solely found in you, and that we need to rely upon you wholly and in everything for that. That, Lord, when we rely on our own strength, we will realize that we are pretty weak, that we're going to fail. But, Lord, when we rely upon you, and when you become our strength, there are things that we are able to do that only can be done through you and your shed blood, your resurrection, all that you've done for us. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just be with each one of us, prepare our hearts that we would receive these things in humility, and that, Lord, we'd glorify you and please you as we use them in our day-to-day lives. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see, obviously, in this passage, there is a very direct correlation about what we referred to last week with fainting and strength. And, it's kind of interesting. The Lord sometimes gives me some pretty distinct illustrations. We obviously had to cancel our Bible studies this week because my wife and I were not feeling all that well. There's other people that have kind of caught this flu that seems to be going around, and I thought I was doing better. I thought Friday, man, I should be good to go on this, and then the next thing I know is, man, I'm actually feeling pretty faint. I was feeling woozy, a little unsteady, unbalanced, and I was like, you know, it's probably not a good idea to try to do something when I feel that way. So wound up, having to cancel that. But what we look at in our Christian life, and we look at in a, from a spiritual sense, that fainting that we were talking about last week is when we faint away from the things that God has given us. We faint from relying on Him. We faint in faithfulness to Him. We faint in being able to accomplish His will. We succumb to temptation. Our thought processes, our minds get out of control. We start doing things that are contrary to God's word. There's a lot of stuff that happens when fainting occurs in a Christian's life. So we understand that when we're going through those days of adversity, when we're going through those times of trouble, trials, tribulations, I'm not trying to alliterate here, but, you know, those things are obviously there. We realize that we have to rely on something to continue through this. You know, we'll see in this morning service, a couple of things regarding some statistics that we'll mention. But, you know, in this day and age, the world has a lot of hopelessness. You know, just the events of the last, 24 hours have shown us, there's a lot of things that people are relying on that, can cause, well, a misunderstanding about what strength is. There was people that were panicking. There were people that were, freaking out. There were people that were, going through all sorts of, if you will, emotional roller coasters and so on and so forth. Well, I'll tell you this, there wasn't a lot of emotional roller coaster if you realize our Savior is Jesus Christ. Our country is going to go through some things. All countries do. Our lives, we're going to go through things. How we get through them is going to depend solely on these issues of strength and how we obtain it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, and this is, again, one of the primary passages that we have to really, truly get a handle on when it comes to the issue of strength. When we start thinking about, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, what Paul's talking about, and the wrestling that he goes through, the struggle that he has, there's a lot that we can take away from it. And people will sit there and they argue about what Paul's, a thorn in the flesh is here, what his infirmity is. And I've heard, again, like I said, I've heard everything from, it was Paul's eyesight. The thorn in the flesh was actually a person. Thorn in the flesh was the fact that he was bald. Trust me, there's stuff out there that you realize. And there's been a lot of people that have their theories about it and so on and so forth. But I will tell you this, in scripture, the Lord is vague for a reason sometimes. I believe it. Because I think it makes it very applicable to whatever situation that we're going through. I look at this and my personal opinion, and I'm not preaching it as doctrine. Again, opinions can change, and I'm more than happy to change it if I'm wrong, and there's no problem with that. But, I think one of the biggest thorns in Paul's flesh was the fact you can't do what he did and walk away from it just forgetting it all. When you're tearing families apart, when you are essentially torturing them, you're imprisoning them, you're having them killed, that weighs heavily on you. You cannot watch Stephen getting stoned and just kind of be okay with that. That's a pretty graphic thing when you think about it. That's not something that is, stoning was not just, that here they are throwing these little pebbles till they, the guy just kind of gently passes out and falls asleep. That's, no. It was stones, and it was violent, and it was a violent death for Stephen. Yeah. And if you've ever experienced that kind of violence, and you've watched somebody pass away right in front of you, that stays with you for your life. So I think personally, I think he had some issues thinking about that a lot. A lot. I could be wrong. I'm more than happy to be wrong. But I know this, that in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says this here, in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So we see that there's a purpose behind why this thorn is there, and Paul understands that. God's trying to keep him humble. God's trying to keep him humble. You know, sometimes people get a lot of knowledge and they get a knowledge of the Bible, and then all of a sudden what happens, you find that scripture is true, knowledge puffeth up. And next thing you know is they're walking around thinking that they know everything, and you know, that they're the fourth person of the Trinity. There's danger behind that. And here he is, he's being obviously going through this as a humbling process. And in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response is, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And again, this is something that we need to begin to understand, that we have to enter into this process of receiving strength, understanding we are weak. We are weak. When we take a look at our strength as compared to God, we're weak. We really, truly are. We're a very frail creation. God is not. You know, we realize the power of God. How, you know, he can speak things into existence. He's outside of time. He's outside, if you will, the laws of physics. Yet he can manipulate them and use them and give them to us, if you will, to kind of keep us into a certain boundary, if you will. But as we begin to realize our weakness, it means that we have to rely on the power of Christ more and more and more. If you've lived the Christian life long enough, you've gone through a point in time in your life where you have at least maybe once attempted to do something on your own without God. And it often does not work well. It often fails. It often just kind of falls flat. But in the process of this humbling that Paul is receiving, he learns this lesson. That there are certain things that he has to begin to, if you will, receive and be joyful about. I mean, here he is, he's saying, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. I mean, when's the last time you were really glad about having an infirmity? You know, I'll tell you, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. You know, again, just kind of using my life as a bit of an example, you know, here you are, you know, you go for so long, basically from the month of March in 2023 all the way through till May of 2024, having your, basically your insides exposed. That's an infirmity. That's a big infirmity. And then all of a sudden you get really excited because they close it up. And you're like, yay! And then it's like, nope, we gotta reopen it again. And you're like, yay! You have to glory in that. But not in ourselves. But in what God's doing. In what Christ is doing in our life. And the key part that we see here is in verse 9, where we really need to understand how we go about receiving this strength so that we can endure, is we need to understand God's grace in our life. When he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, that means we don't need anything else. There's nothing that you can add to it that will make it better. And when we realize how important that grace is in our lives, we begin to realize I need God working in my life daily. I need God, to show me constantly what it is he is doing for me. And that's where a lot of this grace comes in. Because when we sit down and we realize, you know, God's grace as God's working in our life as what he's doing, and we sit back and we realize, hey, I've got such a great salvation, I don't want to neglect that. When's the last time you sat down and you really, truly, honestly thought, I have forgiveness of sins? My sin is forgiven. There's a lot of people out in this world, their sin is not forgiven. And to die in our sins, as Christ points out, is going to be horrific. But yet, we have been given eternal life because of what Christ has done for us. When's the last time we actually contemplated that and said, God, thank you for that? Because when we focus on what God is doing, his grace, it's going to really, truly take away from what others are doing, or what other environments, or what are adversities, or what's going on in the tribulation that we're going through. Because now our perspective has shifted. It's gone away from sitting there saying, what Ken Stewart is doing is sufficient. Because look, what I do is not going to be sufficient. It's never going to be complete. But what God is doing is something totally different. And this is what God is telling Paul. Paul, you got to realize, look, you're going through some stuff. I'm trying to teach you, you know, some humility here. I'm trying to make sure that you understand you need to not be putting yourself up, or nobody else should be putting you up, or any of that nature. You need to make sure that you understand, Paul, you're still a human being. I've had discussions with individuals, I don't know where they get this stuff. I've had discussions about some things, you know, regarding people in Scripture, and then they go, well, that person was special. He may not really have been, you know, fully human. John the Baptist may not have been fully human. Moses, he may not have been fully human because of some of the stuff he did. Joshua too, and, you know, Elijah. And I'm sitting there going, really? Where are you getting this from? Well, there's special circumstances. Well, it seems like there's a lot of special circumstances in Scripture. Maybe it's just men that had faith in the Lord and realized it was Him that was doing it, and they were doing exactly what Paul was doing here. And this is what people have to understand. Because as the Lord points out in verse 9, when He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee," He says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." There's nothing that is going to be, if you will, bringing the Lord's grace, bringing the Lord's strength, making it better in life, that we are going to contribute. What are we going to contribute that's going to make God's grace better? Oh, hold on a second, God. I see you've got a little bit of a deficiency there. I can help you out with that. That's not how it works. We need to realize this. And we need to realize, and if you will, take a look at that perspective of, hey, I need God. I need Him. I'm weak. And this is exactly the point at which we begin to realize the strengthening that Christ provides. When I realize what I'm doing is not sufficient, but what God's doing is sufficient. And the reason is because I am weak and He has the strength. Take a look at another passage. Go over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is obviously that main passage that we often refer to when we start talking about faith. We use it as Hebrews 1, 11, 1 to define what faith really truly is. And when we look at this here, as we go through these individuals that He talks about, and then He starts talking about others that, you know, there's so many others that, you know, time just doesn't allow to go through. And He mentions that in verse 32. And He talks about all of those, and in verse 33, those that He mentions, He says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens," and so on and so forth. What is all of this that He's talking about here? It says in verse 33, what? Through faith. Through faith. And we begin to realize what faith is really about when we start realizing faith is believing God at His word and what He says. And being obedient to that word, and not just, if you will, casually dismissing it. These are individuals that all that are listed here, they exercised faith, and you can see that in their life time and time and time and time again. And He says these are the ones that through faith, as He says right there in the middle of verse 34, out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. You know, there was a lot of times that some of these individuals really truly exercised some major weakness, didn't they? I mean, you know, even just that list in verse 32, Gideon. You realize Gideon, you know, here's this, angel that shows up to him and says, you know, calls him a mighty man of valor, you know. And what is he doing? He's like, "Me? Me? You want me to do this?" And he kept questioning the whole thing, didn't he? You ever been in that position? You ever been in that position where God's doing something in your life and maybe you are going through some things and you keep asking God, really? And you're really thinking about at some point in time going out there and actually buying a piece of fleece so that you can put it out in your yard? To, if you will, divine the will of God and whether this is right or whether this is wrong. You begin questioning that. Think about what he did. He receives that. He's still not 100% sure. So what does he do? He puts out the fleece. Gets the answer. Let's try again, but let's reverse it this time. Man, aren't you glad God's patient? Just patient. If you think about it, Gideon was pretty weak in his mind. But that's okay because he needed God to strengthen him for the battle that was to come. Now think about it. Here you are and you see these, you know, these Midianites out there and you realize, man, you know, it said they were as grasshoppers. They were just like, they were occupying the land. There were so many of them. And finally, you know, here he is getting his army together and he gets 32,000 individuals and he's like, okay, well, this is a pretty good start. And God says, no, you got too many. He starts whittling it down to 300 people. 300 people. You know God likes using small things. Why? Because it really truly shows it's not about us. He'll use that small little element of faith. He'll use that small little, if you will, individual that you would not think would be the one that God would use. But God uses that person. 300. And then God has to go and say, oh, by the way, if you're a little frightened about it, go listen to what the enemy is saying. Go do some intelligence, reconnaissance. Go listen to what they say. And here they are, and this guy starts talking about a dream, and he says, well, surely this is, you know, Gideon's, you know, and, you know, the Lord doing this, and you can imagine him and the individual he brought with him walking away from that, sitting there going, how? This has got to be of God. That's just Gideon. I mean, and again, we see individuals here. Barak. Barak had to be chided by a woman to get into the fight. And if you read that whole thing, God had already told Gideon or Barak to go do that. And Deborah had to come along and say, hey, get it together, man. What are you doing? Let's go. Well, I won't go into battle unless you come with me. Okay. It's amazing to see how these individuals, but you know what it all does is it shows us the weakness of these individuals, but the power and the strength of God in all of it. And how God is the one that does these things. Out of weakness, they were made strong. 300 guys. Barak. David. Samson. One guy. We begin to realize that this strength that we're talking about during the day of adversity is something that has to originate from God. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 is obviously that there's the verse there that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have memorized. People have quoted many times. They misquote it. But here in this passage, all of these things where he's talking about, you know, be careful for nothing. He talks about the right thought processes, how to think on these things. All of this stuff that they go through, and he even says here, and I want us to kind of grab a hold of this in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I'll tell you this, one of the main ways that you can obtain strength is through contentment. Just being content. That's a big one. And he says all of this in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye communicate with my affliction. Here he is going through all of this stuff, and what is Paul saying? He's saying, look, you know, I can do all of these things through Christ, which strengthens me, but I gotta keep this mindset. I gotta be content with what God's doing. Not content with what we have. There's a difference, isn't there? A lot of times people are, when they hear about contentment, they're just like, well, I'm going to be content with what I have. How about we be content with what God is doing? You know, that's hard for somebody that likes to be the controller, isn't it? And let's face it, in some way, shape, or form, we're all controllers. We want to control our destiny. We want to control our fate. We want to sit there and we get our plans and our schemes and we get everything down how we think we're going to do it. And we sit there and we get them all aligned and, you know, our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan, our 20-year plan. And this is exactly how everything is going to go. And then what happens? Bam! First year Amy and I got married. 1999. I was laid off and I was involved in a horrible auto accident. There was a lot of, if you will, affliction. As a matter of fact, it was like 3 auto accidents in a row. Hence the name Crash was my nickname at the church for a while. But you think about it for a moment. That's not how I planned our first year of marriage going. You don't sit there and plan, you know, here you are in the kitchen getting ready to have, you know, spaghetti and meatballs. And all of a sudden, because you've been injured, you can't open a jar of spaghetti sauce. You have to hand it to your wife. You know what? When we are content to realize we don't have control, it means we have to rely on the strength of God, the strength of His knowledge, because that becomes an important part. I mean, let's take a look. Let's go over, if you will, to let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 24. Let's see a couple of things in regards to this whole idea of concept of strength and where strength comes about. Proverbs chapter 24, take a look at what it says here in verse 5. It says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. So when we start talking about strength, we're talking about the mind. Why? Because our bodies will fail us. Our bodies will start to have issues and not be able to get through things. But it becomes an issue of the heart and of the mind where that strength is going to be. And the more I know about Jesus Christ, the more I know about His will, the more I know about what He has done, the more I understand His grace in my life, the more I increase in that knowledge, the more wisdom is going to be applied to me from His Word, and the end result is my mind will be strengthened in the day of battle. People sit there and they look at some of the things that God has done and how God has operated. In 1967, when the nation of Israel began to understand that they were about ready to be attacked by multiple countries all at once for the purpose of pushing them into the Mediterranean Sea and wiping them off the map, they said, well, we're going to go ahead and strike first. The equipment they were using was woefully inadequate when it came to the technology. I mean, they were still operating some of these World War II tanks that they had upgraded. Tanks that were really insufficient as compared to the new Soviet armor and things that were being touted out there, so on and so forth. But because of the way that God operated, God brought a very great victory for them. But when the fighting began, there was one thing that became very apparent and has been studied throughout military history, is that you can have the best equipment in the world, but if your morale is less than the other guys, you'll lose. And let's think about that. What morale is about? Morale is about confidence. Morale is about, if you will, a mindset of, hey, we're better fighters than these other guys. I mean, you know, so, and I'm not talking about necessarily being braggadocious and puffed up and things of that nature, but, you know, just kind of understanding. Morale can go a long ways. You know, that's one of the issues that you see when it comes to insurgencies and guerrilla warfare, is if you can take that occupying army and you can begin to make it so that they don't want to be there anymore, you can win that battle. It becomes a psychological game, if you will, so to speak. You know, God knows that. God understands that. Because right here, He gives us the idea and the concept of, hey, look, you want strength? Here's how you're going to get it. You need wisdom and you need knowledge. And isn't that what the book of Proverbs is all about? Pointing out that? It points out two individuals, the wise man and the fool. Points out two women, the froward and wisdom. I mean, it makes it very clear here there are some choices of what we're going to do in our lives and what we're going to take. And it says very clearly here, look, you know, a wise man, what is he going to do? A wise man is strong. He's going to know how to handle things. He's going to know where his strength comes from. It's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. It's the fool that says, I don't need God to help me. I can do this on my own. And that is very foolish, isn't it? Take a look at what he says over in the book of Psalms. Go over to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Psalm chapter 105, and look at what he says here verse four. It says, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. That's what the wise man does. That's how the wise man increases in knowledge. That's how strength is found. The more you seek God, the stronger you will be in the day of adversity. It's a direct correlation. And there's even a direct correlation to the verse 5 right after it, where he says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. And that's what happens, is sometimes we forget those things. We forget what God has done for us. But the person that is content, the person that is seeking the Lord in his wisdom and his knowledge, is going to be the person that is going to be able to endure and go through those things and persevere when everything seems to be against you. That's the only way that you can do that. That's the only way that you can do that. Take a look at Psalm chapter 138. I want you to see this concept as well. Psalm chapter 138, and this is a very important one. When it comes to persevering and when it comes to strength, over there in 2 Corinthians, we saw Paul, he did something. What did he do? He had a conversation with God, didn't he? Three times he said, you know, ask the Lord to remove it. Psalm chapter 138, and if you will, take a look at verse 3 here. It says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Here's one of the greatest things that we can understand when it comes to about seeking God's strength, is there needs to be an active prayer life involved. If we are not crying unto God, we're going to have a hard time. We're going to struggle. You're like, but the answer that he got was no. Three times. Yeah. Why? Because God was teaching him. You ever pray and then realize as God begins to unfold things in front of you and do things in your life and you begin to see how God works, you realize God's teaching you? Look, if you have not experienced that at some point in time in your life, you need to start looking for it. Because God is teaching you. If you don't believe God's teaching you, then you're probably not in his word, and you're probably not in prayer, and you probably got a problem with the heart. Because when we stop and we sit down and realize, hey, you know, that happened that way because that's the way God wanted it to happen. I was praying about something, but maybe it didn't work out the way I wanted it to. You ever pray that? You ever pray for something and then God says, oh yeah, yeah, I hear your prayer. I'm going to strengthen you, but not the way that you want. Not the way that you expect. Not the way you asked. This is why Jesus Christ, when his disciples said, teach us to pray, he taught them to pray to God saying, thy will be done. Not my will be done, but thy, meaning God's. And that's what we need to begin to understand in this. Go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, take a look at chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we're going to take a look at this in one more verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and in verse 10 it says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. You ever try to do something with a blunt edge? You ever try to cut something with a butter knife that really shouldn't be cut with a butter knife? You try to do something outside the way it's supposed to be done. When you wet the edge of a blade, you know, it's going to take some time to get it right. You got to get it at the right angle, the right grind. You got to do it the right way. There's a lot involved in it to make sure that edge is sharp. Because if the edge isn't sharp, it's useless. And you're just sitting there and you're just, what are you doing? You're frustrating yourself. You ever have a tool that doesn't cooperate? Sometimes I wonder if that's how the Lord looks at us. Tools that don't seem to cooperate. But, you know, what do you have to do? You have to patiently sharpen it so that it can be used right. You know, that's wisdom. Wisdom isn't going to come overnight. Wisdom isn't something that you can just pop a pill and then, voila, you've got wisdom. You know, regrettably, I wind up having to take a few more pills now because they're like, well, we want you to take more vitamins and things like that. And I'm like, you know, I hate taking pills. I had it so that there was like one pill a day, and then all of a sudden now I got to increase all these pills. I'm like, yeah. I got my little box, so it's my pharmacy that I carry around with me, you know. All of this stuff, you know, there is no magic pill. There's nothing that you can take and wake up the next morning and voila, you have download of wisdom. It doesn't work that way. Wisdom takes time and patience, and if you will, the working of God, the grace of God in your life to accomplish that. But that's how we receive our strength. It strengthens our mind. The more that I focus on God, the more that I focus on what He knows, the more I focus on what He tells me, the more I focus on the knowledge of His will, the more I'm going to have that strength to get through whatever it is I'm going through. That's how these things work. I want you to turn over to Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 17, we'll close with this. Isaiah chapter 17, there's a little bit of a condemnation here to the nation of Israel that they need to understand. And many times this is what happens in our life, okay? Many times when all of a sudden we realize, I am having those thoughts about giving up. I'm having the thoughts about quitting. I'm having the thoughts that this is too much. I'm having the thoughts that, you know, I'm not going to be able to get through this. I'm having those thoughts. You know what's going to happen? Take a look at this. Isaiah chapter 17. And look at verse 10. It says, because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore thou shalt plant pleasant plants and shall set it with strange slips. And he goes into all of these things. But here's the issue that we look at has not been, we haven't been mindful of the rock of our strength. We have to begin to realize there is a certain place that we resort to. And it is God, the rock of our salvation. And he is the rock of our strength. He is the fortress. He is the high tower. He's the deliverer. He's the one that's going to do it. He's the one that we need to really, truly have our perspective solely looking at. Because if our mind is not on God, and we are not mindful of him and what he has done for us, we are not mindful of all the things he's provided for us, we're not mindful of the salvation, we're not mindful of the time he has strengthened us in the past, and we're not mindful of all those things, our strength is going to be diminished. And when that day of adversity comes, guess what's going to happen? We are going to faint. It's what Israel did. You realize Israel is a perfect example for us. And we need to make sure that we're watching carefully that our strength is not diminished because we have forgotten who God is and what God has done for us. Paul had to be even reminded of that. My grace is sufficient for thee. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. I thank you again for this time and opportunity that we've been having here this morning to just learn from you. And Lord, I just pray that as we learn about perseverance and as we learn about how you want us to live this Christian life, the Lord, if there is conviction in our lives that we have not been mindful of you, that we have not been content, that we have not sought your wisdom and knowledge, that Lord, sometimes we look at it and really think that there's more other things that are out there maybe that are sufficient. Lord, I pray that we would just repent of that and turn to you. The Lord, we would realize that we need you every single day, every single moment to have that mindset and that viewpoint, Lord, of who you are and what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, you just continue to use these things to guide us and direct us. I pray, Lord, that this time that is to come would be pleasing and honoring unto you. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.